Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Fridays, as you may have heard, now all about food here at WAMC. We have some fantastic folks in the studio with us who know a thing or two about finding it and cooking it. They're here today to talk local and delicious. What should you look for at your neighborhood farmer's market? How do you make the most of the experience? And what are the best ways to prepare those fresh local foods? Adam Zeminski, a chef and Berkshire native, owns and operates Cafe Adam in Great Barrington, which specializes in modern European cuisine. He's worked in professional kitchens in London, Boston, and New York, but brought his talents back home with a love of local food, has been on the Today Show and live at Daryl's House, which we'll ask him about in a minute. Do you play music as well?
Mostly spatulas and whisks.
I see. All right. You're going to be a card here today. He's a graduate of Johnson & Wales University. Also here, Jennifer Jennings is the market manager for the Schenectady Green Market. She's worked with the Regional Food Bank of Northeastern New York, is a nationally recognized expert in rural-urban communication. And Monica Kuzieski, did I get it right?
You did.
Wow, twice in a row. Has been the market manager for the Troy Waterfront Farmers Market since 2009, running both its winter and summer operations and growing it to the popular market it is today. Adam, Jennifer, Monica, welcome to the show. It's Food Friday. We're eating.
We are eating.
How could you go wrong? Now, if you want to call in, I'd love you to do that. If you have questions, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also get in touch with us online. You can do that in a number of ways. One, you could comment below today's Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But we love your calls. It is, in fact, a call-in show, 1-800-348-2551. Well, with the preamble dispatched, let's talk food, and we'll start with Chef Adam. What have you brought forth?
Well, I decided to treat you guys today with a dish we're doing in the restaurant right now. It's off our winter menu. What we have is a beef shoulder braised in red wine, soy sauce, and Asian spices such as star anise and a little sesame oil. It's kind of a riff on a beef bourguignon. We tried to update it a little bit this year, and this is what we came up with. It's also being served with some roasted local carrots from Mill River Farm in out near Great Barrington in my neck of the woods, and some celery root puree with local cream and some horseradish in it.
It's phenomenal, and you brought a beer as well that's a local brew.
Yeah, this is our neighbor next door, Berkshire Mountain Brewers, was kind enough to give us some mountain maple ale to go with this today, and wanted to spread the word about them too.
So why, and the thematic sort of everything that ties it together here is local. And you mentioned local carrots and local root vegetables.
That's right.
What's special about it? Why?
Well, first of all, you know, the closer we source our food, the better it tastes. I mean, let's be honest with each other. It's fresher. It has more enzymes in it. It's picked much more closer to the date when you eat it, or it could be that morning too. It's just a nice way to enjoy vegetables, and you know, it goes beyond that as well into sustainability, and it goes into the community, and it becomes a closed circuit for commerce, and all kinds of benefits arise from it.
Yeah, in the old days, maybe 50 years ago or more, or maybe a little less, this is the way it was done everywhere. A chef would go to the local market, get what he or she wanted, and cook from there. Think we've gotten away from that, but thanks to the efforts of these farmers markets and the family farm, which, you know, newsflash, is not dead, it's coming back. And maybe Jennifer and Monica can talk a little bit about farmers markets, and this seems to be one everywhere.
Go ahead, Jen.
I was going to say, there are, the New York State has one of the, I actually think that we're higher than California for the amount of farmers markets we have in the country. So we are actually in a really rich, vibrant agricultural and food area.
I think the one number was like closer to 6,000 markets within New York State itself.
Within just New York State?
Yeah, within New York State. And it grew tremendously, you know, up by like 100% just a few years ago. It's just something that has just kind of caught on, and the trend has caught on, and hopefully it's not a trend. I hate to say it was a trend. It's just people are starting to realize that, you know, buying closer to home is good for everybody. It's for them, for their farmers market, and for their, you know, for their communities.
Explain how it works. How do you get the local, like, you're in Troy,
yeah.
Troy Waterfront Farmers Market. How do you get all the local vendors and farmers to come to you?
Most of it's through word of mouth, really. I mean, the Troy Farmers Market started in 2000, yeah. And I joined on in 2009, like you said. And since 2009, we've actually probably have grown close to 100%. When I came on, we had about 50 vendors. This winter, we actually have 80 inside now. And it's just become, you know, known, and the region has become known for its really good product. And the fact that we're producer only, we become an avenue for people who are looking to get into the marketplace. And you know, it's a really good incubator program as well, too, for some small farmers, you know, first time farmers, you know, it's a good option for them to kind of get into it and experiment a little bit, too.
It is a Food Friday on Vox Pop. The number to call is 800-348-2551. Chef Adam Zeminski is here. Jennifer Jennings, the market manager of the Schenectady Green Market, and Monica Kuzieski of the Troy Waterfront Farmers Market. And so tell us about the business model. How does this work? You know, presumably someone makes some money besides the farmers, yes?
No. We're nonprofits. We're nonprofits, and the business model is geared actually towards the vendor.
But how do you keep it going, then?
Vendor fees, fundraising, at least for us. We do fundraising events throughout the year as well.
And ours is truly a vendor fee program. So the vendors pay a seasonal fee, and then that sustains the market in general through your operations, whether it be your payroll and your advertising costs, your insurance costs, and, you know, advertising is a big chunk of change in our market. But we do tend to go out regionally with our advertising, try to keep it out, you know, to garner more interest. And we try to do a lot of collaborative advertising with the other markets as well, just to kind of get the...
So there's no competition, no cutthroat competition here?
I think there's less now than there was previously.
Oh, there was at one time. Oh, do tell.
Well, no, I think it's just a matter of, you know, the Troy market, having been in existence, this will be the 14th summer, you know, I think Schenectady kind of started out of an initiative from some vendors that came from Troy, and Saratoga being the same way. Some of the other markets are very community-oriented markets, whether they were started through a local chamber or through an economic driver or through the cities or something like that. But I think the biggest thing is that, you know, we all are realizing that collaboratively we can make a bigger impact in the region.
Our market started with a group of concerned community members.
This is in Schenectady.
Schenectady Green Market. Yep, Schenectady. And we, like Monica said, we did pull a lot from Troy Farmers Market. But I think having worked in agriculture in the area for a number of years, I see that everyone's demographic is a little bit different, but also the people who really love their food and are really crazy about local food, they have no problem going to Troy on Saturday and coming to us on a Sunday. I think that Troy's a lot of times...
I've been known to be in Sundays in Schenectady.
Oh, yeah?
But I think, too, that, like, Troy being on a Saturday, it's a real event. We were just discussing at the market on Sunday that I think because we're on Sunday, we're grocery market. Like, people come and purchase their groceries for the whole, you know, the whole week. So.
Is it cost effective? In other words, as opposed to going to a big box store where you may get stuff of perhaps lesser quality?
I think so. I mean, I am notoriously cheap. I live on a very fixed budget. I think that if you know how to use whole foods and whole products, if you relearn how to cook, that it does become really cost effective. My big thing is I love buying a whole chicken, roasting the chicken, keeping it, making a stock, and, you know, I very easily afford my weekly groceries at the Schenectady Green Market.
The trend seems to be growing and growing and growing. I know in my neighborhood, the farmers market, which is right around the corner, it's tough to even get by the farmers market with the crowds.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people on foot just walking up.
Yep.
So they've grown. You started in 2000 doing this, did I hear?
In 2000, yeah.
So tell me about how it's grown since then.
Well, I think the biggest thing is it's just, again, the word of mouth and the consumer education piece of it, and then the fact that, you know, we started with 20 vendors and then it quickly grew to 50 vendors and now it's up to 80. We'll go outside because we have some vendors that don't come inside for the winter. We'll be up to 86 without any new vendors coming through. But I think it's also it's you know, you do experience growing pains and you have to have great relationships with your cities and, you know, and your DPWs and stuff like that.
And have you gotten good support?
Oh, absolutely. The community, and I think it's a community builder, and I think that's part of the niche as well, is that these farmers markets are known to create community. There's places of community that, just like Del Mar is a great piece, and, you know, Schenectady definitely builds from its zip codes, and Troy's doing the same thing. It's a community builder, and I think that's part of the growing appreciation for them as well, too.
Chef Adam Zabinski, when you shop for stuff that you make into art, obviously, is it a struggle to find to pick the perfect local produce?
We're very lucky in the Berkshires. We have plenty of choices of local farmers, and the season's just getting longer and earlier, so that's great news. I physically don't attend the farmers markets, but I do deal with all the farmers that are lined up there,
right?
And
how do you shop local then? How do you get the stuff then?
Usually through email. I'll find out what we have available for the week from each number of farmers that's on my list, and then I go through and I'll call them if I have a specific question. And sometimes I just, you know, I'll order things and they'll arrive, and it'll be a surprise. Like, I'll ask them what looks good this week, and they'll bring it by. And it's just fascinating as a chef to see these things come through the back door of the restaurant.
And so your menu will change based on the stuff, the surprises you get.
There's room for that, of course, yes.
It's Vox Pop. It's Food Friday on WAMC. And I promise you, we're going to get to the phones in a moment. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. That's very interesting. What are we, the Beverly Hillbillies now? That's not the bumper music I picked. All right, play it anyway, Zach, whatever. I don't know what this is.
Support for WMT comes from Larry's Southwestern Sauces, locally produced Mexican cooking sauces for tacos, enchiladas, chicken mole, and more by cookbook author Larry Somke, larryssouthwesternsauces.com. Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Quarry and fabrication used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking, rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, ashfieldstone.com. And Ashokan Center, Olive Bridge, New York, a classroom in the wild helping schools, organizations, and individuals reconnect with nature, history, and the arts, ashokancenter.org.
I apologize to bluegrass fans everywhere for that outburst. I generally pick jazzier sort of bumper music, and this was all very nice, and the fiddle and the banjo and everything else. It's Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. Chef Adam Zabinski is here, Jennifer Jennings of the Schenectady Green Market, and Monica Kuzieski of the Troy Waterfront Farmers Market on this Food Friday. We talk local. And we talk fresh, and Chef Zabinski has brought some food here, and our producer, Jessica Blaustein-Marshall, seems to be enjoying it.
They don't feed you guys around here much, do they?
No. Really, we're only in this for the food.
Whatever it takes.
Well, it's a two-second rule on that carrot, by the way. You go right. Oh, you won't do it. That's
There's
all
plenty.
Right.
There's plenty.
So the carrots, tell us about the carrots again.
Yeah, these carrots are the best carrots I've ever had in my life. When Jan from Mill River Farm came through my door and presented an array of vegetables, I tasted all of them raw. Some of them, they were well washed, but they were definitely raw.
Yeah.
And the carrots, I snapped into them, and they were just like candy. There's really nothing like it. If you have even organic carrots that you'll find in your supermarket and don't even compare it to the locally grown ones that are just out of the earth. They just have that like special, I don't know, glow about them.
It's, do you think I could tell the difference?
I did bring a few raw ones with me, and
should we do a taste test?
Some other ones that are not exactly local. I thought you might want
to. All right. Well, I can do a blind taste test. Our producer's here. Is that all right, Jess?
All right. Sure.
Okay.
Blind taste test.
All right. Let's do this. You know, I got to tell you, this is a. My palate might not be as refined as others.
It's going to be easy to know which one.
All right,
which,
well, I'll close my eyes.
Okay, here, you want to.
So you hand me one, Jess, and I'll let you know.
There you go.
All right, this is one. and I'm chewing. You can hear this at home.
Might want to take a sip of beer to cleanse your palate.
Oh, yes. You don't have to tell me twice.
That's the Monument Maple Ale from Berkshire Mountain Brewers.
Okay, very nice. That was a carrot indeed. I'm ready. Well, all right. I've seen this now, and I... Let's see. Mmm.
Tastes like a carrot, right? It's not...
They taste completely different.
They taste totally different. Mm-hmm. I like them both. I like the first one. Try the first one again. This one has less taste, I think.
You're onto something.
Okay. Tell me what I ate. The first one was what?
Well, the first one was a carrot grown in California on a large scale, which, you know, it's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And then the second one was a specialized carrot grown locally, just about 10 miles down the road from us.
It has
actually
a little more zinc.
In a greenhouse, yeah. This time of year. But you can definitely taste the sugar content in there. It's just sparkling. It's beautiful.
Yeah, really good, really good. The farmers markets, they don't stop in the winter. You brought up locally grown indoor carrots. The farmers markets continue indoors. What is there to sell in the middle of, say, February?
Well, I'm new to the farmers market, so I can't talk about February. But right now, we have just an amazing amount of food. It's you go in and you think you're only going to see certain things, but really, it's a rainbow of colors and a rainbow of flavors. You can get your standard cabbage and onions and carrots, which are still absolutely delicious, as we've just taste tested. But you can also get things like the celeriac and delicata squash, and it's phenomenal what's available.
Well, and with the changes in technologies for the farmers too, there's a lot of greenhousing that's going on, so you can, you know, as long as the temperatures are okay and they can hit a certain degree mark, you can pick up spinach, you can get your mesclun mix, you can get some salad mixes. We have one vendor who does hydroponics, Shushan Valley, so you can get tomatoes and cucumbers and basil and all those products at the market right now too, so you can literally make a salad in February at the farmers markets, and it's a locally grown salad, which, you know, we all know is tastes better, as you just attested to.
Absolutely. Let's go to the phones at 800-348-2551. Adrian in New Paltz, thanks for waiting. You're first.
Oh, hello there.
Hello.
NPR had a story about development-supported agriculture, not community-supported agriculture. Very interesting. I'm sure your panel knows about it. The real estate people are starting to realize if you do a big subdivision and you put a farmer's market and a farm right smack in the middle of a subdivision, you create a wonderful little community, a microcosm. It gives the farmer a guaranteed market. The homeowners get to participate. Great story on NPR.org the other day, and I thought it would be relevant. You know, everybody's into this community-supported agriculture with the small farms and the farmers' markets, but it's going to be a big deal how development people are actually including farms, and they talk about how it used to be they purposely zoned subdivision away from farmland, and now it's completely doing a turnaround. So I'll just let them comment on that.
Monica,
so
you want to go first?
Thanks a lot, Adrian.
It's interesting because, as far as the development of the farms and stuff, I don't know of any active development projects that are going on that are similar to that. But, you know, one of our major partners is Capital District Community Gardens, who has the community gardens throughout the region as well. But I'm wondering, Adrian, is that similar to maybe what Detroit is experiencing right now with their vacancies?
We actually lost Adrian.
Oh, sorry. Well, Adrian out there. Just wondering if it was something similar to what Detroit is trying to do in their downtowns with all of the vacancies that they have there. They're really introducing an urban farming component in their redevelopment of the city itself.
In Arizona as well. Arizona, when the housing market collapsed, there were a lot of subdivisions that were left empty with just slabs down where the houses were going to go. And so I believe the food bank in the area worked with local agriculture, and now they're redeveloping those empty lots.
You know, it's one thing to have a farmer's market out in the suburbs or out in the hills or in Great Barrington. It's quite another to have one in the middle of an urban center. Mm-hmm. And that must be kind of a nice feeling in Schenectady or in Troy to bring that.
Well, it is. It's definitely it creates an atmosphere of community. And it's amazing to have the folks who might not ever really have an experience of being on a farm actually meet their farmers and listen about the weather and things that are happening with their livestock and things like that. So it brings the farm to the urban area.
Which I think is a really key component in the Capital Region and New York State in general. Now that we've gone to more of a regional approach, it really connects those outlying counties with the urban cores and allows, especially answer some of the questions to the food deserts that are out there as well. It enables urban core residents to be able to experience something that you might get in Great Barrington or in some of the other areas that are outlying regions.
Monica Kuzieski is one of our guests. She's the market manager for the Troy Waterfront Farmers Market. Jennifer Jennings is here, the market manager for the Schenectady Green Market, and Adam Zabinski, chef and Berkshire native who owns and operates Cafe Adam in Great Barrington. Back to the phones we go at 800-348-2551. Nate in Schuylerville. Nate, you're up.
Yes, I'm here. I am an apple farmer up here in Schuylerville, and I know Monica because I am a member of the Troy Farmers Market, both summer and winter. And earlier I heard someone, and I know Jennifer from the food bank.
Nate was one of my farmers.
Okay. Okay. Everyone's nodding.
Yep.
Yes. And earlier I heard someone asking, why a farmer would want to come to a farmer's market. And so that moved me to get on the phone and respond. In an earlier time in my life, I was a wholesale farmer. And at some point, I guess we figured out that we were getting 14 or 15 cents of the consumer dollar net back to the farm. And, of course, it's impossible to make a head-on-head comparison because at the wholesale level, you are dealing in larger quantities. Mm. But with regard to selling directly at farmers markets, we get 100 cents of the consumer dollar when we sell the admittedly smaller amount, and that ends up making it possible for us to make different choices as a farmer. In our case, we have downsized so that we can do a more special type of farming using some more expensive ingredients, micro elements and sea minerals, and trying to grow a more highly mineralized food. And the fact that we have the winter market and the summer market, earlier I said, I heard somebody say, well, what have they got for sale? And I had a customer ask me that once at a Glens Falls winter market. What do you got for sale? Snowballs and icicles? But the truth is, well, in my case, we have a couple of these winter greenhouses that we don't heat, but we do get quite a few greens and other things out of them without heating them. And then in our case, we store the apples year round, and apples out of storage are outstanding in quality. So we come to the spring and summer market with our better stored varieties out of controlled atmosphere storage, and they're wonderful, and sell them directly to the consumer. And it allows us to do management practices like not using herbicide in the orchard, which would be too expensive if we were selling them for the 15 cents on the dollar, the wholesale market. We would have to use the herbicide strip. And when I say expensive, because it requires more labor and sometimes machine mechanical intervention. And from a food security issue, long term, we've experienced subsidies on Western agriculture. First, there was giant irrigation projects. More recently, the state of New York put in Railex Terminal in Rotterdam, spent state money, $50 million, to bring Western produce in, and they consider that food security, although it negatively impacts local farmers. Well, if that just-in-time delivery ever breaks down, you better hope that there are some local farmers.
Well, we're happy you're around.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And from a individual consumer's perspective, you can almost think of it as an enlightened political act to divert some of your food dollars to purchasing locally so that local farmer can embrace these better agricultural practices by capturing the full 100 cents of the consumer dollar.
Nice point, Nate. Thank you very much for the call. Jennifer, you want to add anything? I know you said the apple crop was excellent this year.
Well, yes. Having worked at the regional food bank, I got to meet a lot of apple growers. In fact, in my notes for today, I have Nate listed as someone that I wanted to mention, and also Peter Tenike from Altamont, from Indian Ladder Farms in Altamont. And as you can see, they are a wealth of information, encyclopedic amount of information. And both Nate and Pete had explained to me that one year you'll have a really great crop, and then the next year you won't. And so last year we had that horrible freeze, and all the apple producers up and down the Hudson Valley were panicked and were bringing in helicopters to keep the frost off, and a really bad year. And so I knew this year was going to be really great. By golly, it was. And so on our farm, we picked apples and made a hard cider.
And you know, you could always bring that if you're ever on the
I
show.
I know. If I knew it was a taste test, I would have brought some. But I have to tell you that it's not lasting very long. So, because we're drinking quite a bit of it at
Well,
home.
It's one way to battle the polar vortex, yep. I suppose.
I'll have to give Nate a call. Those winter apples sound delicious.
And they are amazing. When I've been there in April, and he's picked one out of the bin for me, and they're phenomenal.
Oh. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. We talk local food today with Jennifer Jennings of Schenectady Green Market, Monica Kuzieski of the Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, and Adam Zabinski, chef and owner and operator of Cafe Adam in Great Barrington. What's on your menu at this time of year? Adam?
This time of year, we kind of divert to more comfort foods, braises like you have in front of you here.
Delicious.
There's a cassoulet in the menu. Just more slow cooking in general. It's more satisfying, earthy foods. Slow food, exactly. Nothing too pretty or delicate. You know, you get your micros in the summer and your sprouts and things like that. I feel like the cuisine should shift with the season, so you have a transition not only in ingredients but also in the way that you present your food and what it transpires on your palate.
How did you end up at Daryl's house? Now, if you haven't seen the show, that's Daryl Hall.
Daryl Hall,
it's a late night music show. It's on mostly late at night.
Yep.
How did you end up on that program?
His sister is a big fan of our restaurant, and he features local chefs in the tri-state area. And she said, you know, why don't you come by and meet Daryl? And CeeLo was on with me. It was a great
nice.
Experience.
Oh, I saw the promo for that one the other day.
Pretty fun.
Terrific. It's Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. Alan in North Adams. Alan, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon. My question is for the people that run the farmers markets. Do you allow all kinds of vendors other than food vendors? It seems that North Adams has turned into a craft market over here, selling scarves and blankets and jewelry.
Is that a bad thing in your estimation, Alan?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I say, is that a bad thing in your estimation?
Well, I'm asking if it's a farmer's market because they could be crowding them out. I think that having that for local Maine wares is a good thing, but maybe you should redesignate the title of the market.
Yeah, this happens a lot, especially I know in the city of Troy, it's become known as more of like a creative economy and artist refuge within the region. And we have a huge contingency in the capital region of artists and people who are producing local artisan products. But we actually have a bylaw in our constitution that actually prevents us from losing our farmers market appeal. 60% of our vendors have to be agricultural in nature, and 40% non-agricultural. So we don't ever, and that was something that was instituted back when they formed the farmers market, just so we don't ever lose that flavor or that the favor of the farmer in it. And it's something that's really protected. I mean, the vendors are very all into it. We do have other products at the market. We do sell there's processed food, so we have pesto vendors, and we have people who make quiches and pot pies and stuff like that. But we also do have, we have some soap vendors who make all their own products, their own soaps. But we also have, I think we have one pottery vendor. We do have another group that kind of partners with us during the wintertime called Tight Knit, which is a craft market, a juried craft market, that they come inside with us. And sometimes because they're with us and in junction with us, sometimes people think that they're an actual part of us, and they're not. They're just a sister organization. But that's where that piece comes in. But yeah, that's a definite, and that's something that is is a very big concern with a lot of the markets is, you know, where do you draw that line? You know what I mean? And where do you take the farmer out and just become a market?
Jennifer, what do you think?
We have a similar ratio for our farmer and producer compared to artisan, you know, population at the market. And it is a major concern. For us, we have we do have artisans that come, but they can't be they can be no more than 10% of the actual market.
Yeah.
But again, they are local craftspeople who do amazing jobs, and it's not something that's bought in because Troy and Schenectady were both producer only. So,
Alan, thank you very much for the call. Now, you both mentioned earlier, I think maybe before we started, kind of a federation of farmers markets. And do they have guidelines and rules that say, well, you can't do this, and you know, you can't have somebody selling, you know, 45 records or anything else? Are there rules?
Yeah, I know our market as a nonprofit has a set of bylaws and constitutions and rules and regulations.
Right, but there's no overarching in this federation.
Each market is separately owned and operated, I'm gonna say. But there is an association out there called the Farmers Market Federation. And they're more of an association for guidance. Farmers markets or municipalities or communities out there that want to start a market, it's a great resource. New York State Ag and Markets has a great resource tool as well. You know, so there's opportunities out there for people to find out more and learn more about how to start a market or do something like that, there's not one overarching umbrella.
And farmers markets across the state vary in what they look like. I have friends who are out in Cattaraugus County and are amazed by the way our markets in Eastern New York look. So having an overall umbrella sort of designation doesn't really fit when there's such a variety among farmers markets within our state.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Hugh and Lake Luzerne will be next, and hang in there. Get in line now. We'll hit the home stretch coming up.
Support for WMC comes from Bow Wow Bath House Resort and Daycare, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. For over 7 years, providing 10 hours of daily indoor-outdoor play, professional grooming and retail shop, thebowwowbathhouse.com. Four Seasons Natural Food Store and Cafe, Saratoga Springs, New York. Locally owned and operated since 1988. Open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 7 days a week. FourSeasonsNaturalFoods.com. And Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York. Sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche, QFCC.com.
Studio A has never smelled quite so good. It's 1-800-348-2551. Chef Adam Zabinski is here, and Monica Kuzieski and Jennifer Jennings. It's Food Friday. We talk local food today and the farmer's market and local produce in local cooking. And Adam, you had a great question, which I hope you can reiterate now that we're on the air.
Yeah, I was just curious. What are the, like, if you have a new farmer that comes in they want to be part of the farmers market, is there any kind of set of standards or things that you look for or ask the farmer? And I also mentioned that what if there's duplicate produce being sold by many farmers, which I do find in the Berkshires.
Jen, you want to take the first part and I'll take the second part?
That sounds like a good plan. So we have rules and regulations for our vendors that are listed on our website. Applications for our market are coming up really soon, I'm sure,
Ours are online already.
Yeah. You go to either website and it's vendors, and then there's rules and regulations. And included in them are that it has to be producer only, that say for prepared foods, because we do have people who have amazing prepared foods.
Oh, yes, indeed.
That 25%, at least 25% has to come of their actual ingredients have to come from locally sourced, things like that. And so we also have an anti-GMO clause in ours, I think. So, you look through and that's how we determine how people are allowed into the market.
But what if there were 12 people who sold tomatoes? What do you do?
We also make sure that our product mix is there. So we keep a cap on sort of the kinds of farmers, but I'm sure Monica.
That's one of the things that, as we've grown exponentially in the past few years, we've had to take under consideration heavily, because I think we have like 16 produce vendors within the farmers market, and you know, we take a look when vendors apply to the market, and the vendor relations committee takes a look at it. They sort it all out. Is there something a new product that's being offered, something like that? We take into account. But there's also, so say you have. We'll just go back to Nate because he's apples. So we have Saratoga Apple, you have Little River Farms down in the Hudson Valley region, and then so say somebody else came in as an apple grower and wanted to become a vendor. Sure. One of the things we take a look at is that we've just started doing is sales percentages and what their sales data looks like. So we actually take a data-driven look at the market itself and see, you know, where are the sales figures at? Is there an incline? Is there a decline? Is it static? And we take a look at those numbers before we take a new into a category that's pretty saturated at that point. If we know that a vendor is selling out consistently, all our vendors are selling out consistently at the end of the market, it's probably time to either go back to those vendors and say, can you up your capacity? Yeah. Can you introduce new products? Mm-hmm. Or do we need to take a look at somebody new coming in that can cover the rest of the market? Because you never want to have, at the end of the market, all your tables vacant. That's probably the worst thing, because that last vendor, the last customer that comes in at 1:30 and can't choose from something is going to say, well, what the heck did I come here for?
Yeah.
And then go find.
Well, you
got
to get up early, don't you, to get the word.
That's what the hardcore customers come in early because they know they get in and get out.
are there ever cries of favoritism? In other words, if I sell apples and I say, well, I have the best apples and I can't get in, why is that?
There are.
The perception, I think,
There's a perception. People who, what Monica and I do, and I do, I'm lucky enough to do this full time. This is my full time job. Monica does this on a part time basis. Mm-hmm. It is very complicated, and there are so many different pieces to the puzzle. And so when someone who calls and wants to apply, and we already have or maxed out on produce vendors because our market can't handle anymore, having to answer them and say, no, I'm sorry, we're not looking for that, is a really tough conversation to have a lot of times.
We actually started a second market for that purpose.
Mm-hmm. Ah.
We started the Twilight Market, the Friday night market. Last year was our inaugural year for it, and it was just a once a month in conjunction with Troy Night Out just to garner interest. And we're actually considering this year doing it every week, just to grow it some more. But it's also an opportunity for those waitlist vendors or those other vendors that can't necessarily get into Saturday to at least get their feet wet with the market, as well as giving them opportunity to also vend.
From an organizer standpoint, it's a nice problem to have that you have a waitlist. Let's go back to the phones. Hugh in Lake Luzerne, thanks for waiting. Hugh, you're on.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
We have a beautiful site here owned by the town, which overlooks the Hudson River and Rockwell Falls. Very scenic. It's a Victorian cottage, and it has historic value and tours and occasional Revolutionary War reenactments. And we were told it would have a farmer's market, and that's been for several years, and nothing's happened. Meanwhile, a friendly acquaintance of ours down the street has a stand in which she is vending produce from the area, but has been told by the town, so I am told, to restrict it to a 5-mile area. I think if that were a restriction for like Glens Falls or Saratoga Springs, they would be in serious trouble because many of their providers come from further than 5 miles away. So my question is, what can we do to either help her? Should she incorporate? I'm a retired attorney. Or should we organize our own group and pressure the township? Because we have a good opportunity here and nothing's happening.
Wow. Well, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
I would say, I mean, for me, the Schenectady Green Market was started by a group of concerned citizens and community members who wanted to have local food. And coming from a grassroots advocacy background, I say, you know, if you are concerned enough and you want to get this started and you have a community that supports you, then, you know.
I'm a,
yes.
just a link to what Jennifer's saying is that I think some of the best markets out there are, with the exception of maybe Rochester, and Rochester's tossed up in the air because it does a bunch of non-producer but producer-only kind of things, and they have a great market. But they're also a city-run market, and so is New York City, the green markets. But I think one of the best, some of the best markets are actually markets that are not part of a municipality or municipally involved. So I think, just like what Jennifer's saying, is if there's a group that you can organize, and, you know, kind of, and, you know, one of the places that the Troy Farmers Market actually started as an initiative of the Regional Farm and Food Project back in the day. So maybe it might be something where you can get in with somebody, you know, to, or maybe talk to the local chamber up there. I know some of the chambers get involved with trying to do farmers markets and put them together, too.
But I'd also call the Farmers Market Federation, Diane Eggert, and see if she's dealt with any of this before either, because she deals with the whole state.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that sounds good. So I hear that we may not want to just work on the town because they've been sort of sitting on things.
Well, I think one of the biggest things you want to collaborate with the town, because no matter what, you're going to need their support. Yeah. So I think it's creating a healthy relationship with them, but maybe they just don't have the capacity to do it themselves.
Hugh, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it very much. It's Vox Pop Food Friday on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. David in Agawam, you're up.
Hi. This is a question for Chef Adam.
All right.
I have a recipe I'm working on that calls for 6 star anise pods.
Sure.
And I'm not sure whether the pod is the whole 8-pointed.
Yeah, I would go with the whole pot, the whole flower arrangement as calling that one pod.
One.
Yep.
Okay.
It does leave a delicate flavor, but follow the recipe, otherwise it might get a little out of control.
Okay.
What's the recipe, David?
It's for a cocktail. It has beets and Prosecco, and it's very interesting, so I'm going to try it.
All right. Come down for the mixology.
Yeah, do tell. Let's hear more about this.
They don't use beet juice just for salt anymore.
Very interesting. Well, David, thanks a lot for the call.
All right, thank you.
That was an interesting one. Let's go to Sharon in Lenox. Sharon, you're on.
Yes, hi. I'm Sharon Hawks. I'm the executive director of the Lenox Library up in Lenox, Mass.
Hello.
We have a different kind of a farmer's market. We have a one-day affair we call Spring Tonic, celebrating all things locally grown. And we have our market right inside the library amongst the stacks. This year is going to be our 4th year on Saturday, March 29th from 10 to 4. You guys were asking about off-season goods, and we've had things in the past, everything from root vegetables to meats, soups, sauces, canned goods, non-edible products, crafts, and CSA shares so that people can meet their farmer, have a nice conversation with them right from the get-go. You know, a personal relationship is a great way to support the farms.
Sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Thanks,
yeah, thanks.
Sharon.
We have a lot of fun. We have musicians come in and play for us, a guest lecturer, health screenings. Be sure to stop by. It's a lot of fun.
Well, thank you, and we appreciate the call very much. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Sharon mentioned local meats. Is there a ratio that you would have in your farmer's market, meat to vegetable, meat to fruit? In other words,
No, there's not a definitive percentage. I think it's based on what you actually have at the market and how well it's selling. We have, good Lord, we have everything. We have bison, we have lamb, we have pork products, we have beef products. Yeah, I mean, you name it.
And
seafood.
It's good.
Seafood.
Yeah. Well, you get the seafood locally?
Well, out of Long Island, they're a New York State vendor. So, like, our regulations for the farmer's market is a 50-mile radius, unless it's something you can't get within the 50 miles.
Right.
Obviously, we're not going to get fresh seafood out of the 50 miles. So we have a vendor that comes up from the Long Island comes up every week and brings fresh seafood. And there's a little bit of a caveat there. It's got to be something that his company caught, you know, out on the boats. So every once in a while, you got to watch them a little bit.
So, okay, that's a great point. Now, you mentioned the caveat. Yeah. Now, Is there occasion where somebody may be skirting that issue a bit?
Of course there is, and that's one of the things that the Troy Farmers Market's tackling at this point in time is an inspection process. Being a producer-only market, you have to verify, you know, that they are producer-only. This comes down to the person who's making barbecue sauce. You want to make sure that they're actually making the barbecue sauce or not shipping out their recipe to some processor out in the middle of nowhere to make the barbecue sauce for them. So we've actually established an inspection committee. And that inspection committee actually travels to the farms. The farmers and the producers, they have to supply the information to us. They do that when they apply as well for their application. You know, they have to do crop plans. They have to give us their business plans. And then we have an inspector, a hired inspector, that actually goes out and verifies that all of those things are actually being made and are produced locally.
And actually, we are starting to seriously look at our inspection process as well. Before Monica mentioned the vendor relations committee that Troy has, we also have one. And this year is the year of compliance monitoring. So,
exciting year.
Yeah, really exciting.
So there's a dull side to the market mm-hmm. as well. There's
and a very
business
complicated side yes. as yeah. well. I mean, mm-hmm. you think, oh, farmers market, they all show up, they open the back of the truck up, and off you go. But this seems like there is a tremendous amount of labor involved, and you're only part-time, Monica. Jennifer, you're a full-timer. How many people are involved in an operation like this?
Well, I have myself, and I have a part-time assistant, and then we have a part-time bookkeeper, and then we have a board of directors that's about 12 strong. The board of directors takes a pretty active role in the vision of the market, as well as some of the policy and procedure part of it and the bylaws. And then the actual overall operations are handled by the three of us.
It's a lot of work. You must really love it.
I absolutely love it. I have a true passion for it, and I stay up very late on nights getting it organized.
I mean, I am the first full-time employee for Schenectady Green Market. Up mm-hmm. until now, it's been a completely volunteer-run organization, and so it is exhausting.
And Jennifer will have as she's getting started mm-hmm. and ramped up, I mean, this being going into my sixth summer with the market, once you get procedures and operations yep. established, it becomes a little bit easier. Sometimes you feel guilty because you're like, ooh, I should be working more. But don't tell the board president that. Just kidding. No,
well,
just kidding.
Did, yes.
Yeah, no, just kidding. But I think as Jennifer gets going and yep. she establishes her processes, it'll actually get a little bit easier for her. And she can venture into some of those other fun stuff,
now,
too.
This, I'm doing a major calendar because we had 25 board members when I first started, mm-hmm. and everyone has a little piece of information. And I'm now... I need to know all those pieces. So we have a calendar going around trying to gather all of that information. But we do it with volunteers. As I said, our board is now 16 members plus our three vendor reps. And our board members volunteer and help me run the market every Sunday. And I have a great group of community volunteers that come in every Sunday as well. Some high school students that I have for 150 volunteer hours, which just makes my life so much easier.
Oh, that's nice.
I know. It's great. And I'm hoping to get an intern soon, too, to help out. So we could not function without volunteers at all.
And I think that's a big call out to the region, too, that if you want to be involved in your mm-hmm. local market, aside from getting to know your food and your farmers and your vendors, is to actually, if you really want to be involved and you enjoy going on a weekly basis, if you want to be a little bit more mm-hmm. involved, certainly come and talk to any one of the people who operate your market and express your interest, because I'm sure that they would scoop you up and put you to work.
And on our website, on the Schenectady Green Market website, we have a volunteer form. And then I easily contact people and see. It asks for a range of questions. Do you want to actually help out the market, or do you want to help stuff envelopes? Because I'm more than happy to have you stuff envelopes, too.
And that's how I got my assistant. She was a volunteer mm-hmm. for a couple of years, and then we had an opening come up, and I said, Audrey, you want to come on board? And she said, absolutely.
Well, that's nice. Now, you mentioned the website. Let's get at least the websites out there right now before we run out of time.
Sure.
Jennifer, you first.
It's SchenectadyGreenMarket.org.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there'll be a calendar of events, schedule of events?
There's a calendar of events each month. We have also every week we post what's fresh this week. And so that just went out yesterday. We also have an e-newsletter that goes out. And then it includes all the information about volunteering, becoming a vendor, and a list of all of our vendors as well.
All right. And Monica Kuzieski.
TroyMarket.org. And again, you can go on there. You can find out more about the Saturday market and also our new Twilight Market, the Friday night market.
And that's all year round as well?
No, that one's just a summer market. It's actually it's an evening market. It's one of the very first, actually, on the East Coast. I think there's one down in the New York City. I think there's one out in California, and there's several over in Europe. A true evening market. All the market vendors, the tents all have lights, and it's more festival-ish. You know, we have it in the park, and you know, so you can find out more information, how to become a vendor, how to volunteer, the music lineup, because we've become kind of a destination for musical talent as well. Every Saturday morning.
Fantastic. And Chef Adam Zeminski, website for your fine venue.
Everyone can come down and stop down in person. And
you don't have a website?
Oh, yeah, of course we do. It's cafeadam.org as well.
And you're in Great Barrington.
Yep. We are in the Jennifer House Commons in Great Barrington, Massachusetts.
All right. Well, thank you all for being here today. And Chef Adam, thanks for the food. Man, that was good stuff.
My pleasure.
It was awesome.
We
road
really
trip.
Appreciate you. Road trip. And for the beer as well. And thank you for listening at home. And just a reminder, you can get in touch with us via email, voxpop@wamc.org, if you want to weigh in. Or you can tweet us, or you can go to our Facebook page. It's all there if you go to wamc.org. Support comes from Bow Wow Bathhouse Resort and Daycare, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, for over 7 years, providing 10 hours of daily indoor-outdoor play, professional grooming, and retail shop, the BowWowBathhouse.com. Four Seasons Natural Food Store and Cafe, Saratoga Springs, New York. Locally owned and operated since 1988. Open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. 7 days a week. FourSeasonsNaturalFoods.com. And Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York. Saab and service of Audi, sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche. QFCC.com. All right, that's it. Thanks again to our guests today. Thanks to Zach Malloy at the controls. Thanks to our producer, Jessica Blaustein. Colleen O'Connell answered the phones. Thank you once again for listening. Next week starts off with Medical Monday at 2 p.m. Bariatric surgeon Dr. Terrence Clark. I'm Ray Graff. Stay tuned for a news update. Have a great weekend.